And this is Detroit Today on WDET. I'm Craig Folly. Glad you could be with us. And we're very glad that Frances Shani Parker could be with us this morning on Detroit Today. Her new book, Becoming Dead Right, a hospice volunteer in urban nursing homes. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure, really. And I want to start just by asking you, first of all, hospice is not something that one just jumps into. It's a difficult thing at best when we're talking about aiding those who are dying and helping them have a dignified death, really. How did you get involved in hospice?
Well, over a three-year period, I had two occasions where two men came into my life. I was not close to them. They didn't know each other well. They didn't know me well. And the first one, after he died, I helped him. There was no support. And then I thought, this will never happen again, because I'm really not a person who ever was really attracted to helping sick people, but there was nobody else to help this man. After he died, I thought, this will never happen. And, of course, two months later, another man came who happened to be in a class I was in, and I ended up helping him. Around this same time, I was wondering, why is this happening to me? And then I ran across a friend of mine who was doing hospice work, and she told me she was doing, and I said, well, you know, that's basically what I'm doing. So I decided to take the training, and I've been a hospice volunteer, and I only do Detroit nursing homes, and I've done it for 10 years.
And nursing homes are an interesting situation. And again, this is where hospice is so important, because there are a lot of folks that, even if this is a relative that is incredibly close to them, they can't bring themselves to even visit a nursing home, especially in someone's final days. They may find it too depressing, or they're intimidated or scared. For a volunteer that has no connection to these people to come in, again, where do you find the willpower and the strength to do that?
People think that it's very depressing, but I haven't found it to be depressing at all. And I think those people who do have relatives in nursing homes should find a way to get there. It's really about the patient. It's not about them. And I have heard people say, I want to remember Daddy the way he was, and so they won't go. Or they'll say, my mother has dementia, so she won't know I wasn't there. And they look for excuses not to go, and it's really not good. Or you'll have five siblings, and one or two are doing everything, and it's really unfair to them. Also, patients need somebody there to be an advocate for them. It always, I think it raises the level of care when there's somebody going there, or several people who are showing an interest as an advocate for the patient. But I haven't found it depressing. In fact, if anything, I think it's made me a better person.
Talk about the response, too, from those folks. Because, again, not everybody in this situation, obviously, is suffering from dementia. There are many people who are very, very aware of everything that is happening to them in their life. They know they're going through this. What kind of reaction do you get from folks when you show up and are there when perhaps nobody else is?
Well, actually, people are glad that somebody is coming. Anybody who visits, there's so many people who are lonely in nursing homes, and that's why it's so important that people do come. The reaction is usually quite good, and they're glad to have somebody come, and I'm glad to come. So it works out. And also, many of the nursing homes do have staff shortages, so it's good to have some extra hands to help with feeding and just help spend time with patients.
Why did you feel the need to write about it?
Well, while I was doing the hospice work, being a writer anyway, I naturally started writing poetry and prose about my experiences. And because I was active in Detroit's writing community, I was involved in readings at different venues in Detroit. And I noticed after I would read poetry or prose about the hospice experience, people would come up to me and want to explain their own situations working with their terminally ill loved ones. And I could see there was a big need for more information about nursing homes, about caregiving, and about bereavement. And I decided to do some of my own research, and that's when I discovered that most of the books about dying really deal with people dying at home, and they really don't have voices of people of color, and particularly those in urban nursing homes.
Well, and that's an interesting distinction that you make there between urban and perhaps suburban nursing homes or home care situations. Why was it so important that this be done in sort of an urban setting for you?
It was important for me because the voices were not there. And I think all nursing homes probably have a common mission of helping patients, but each one is unique. And I think the problems in urban areas may be different from the rural ones, even though they are common strands.
And again, you decide that you needed to write about this, and I should let folks know you are a pretty established and respected writer around town. You've won awards from Writer's Digest, the Poetry Society of Michigan, Detroit Writers Guild, among others. So this is a subject, though, that you weren't you know, writing about before, but talk about the subject matter. Was it easy to write these stories and to tell people about your experience, or was this more difficult than a lot of your other projects?
It really wasn't, and you know, if you're a writer, you almost don't have a choice. You know, you get these ideas, and they won't give you any peace until you do write them. And it's such a vulnerable population, the elderly, and so they needed somebody to write this. Also, I know there are over 70 million baby boomers who are, the first wave is making 62 this year. They'll be getting Social Security. Mm-hmm. And many of them are dealing with their elders plus their own senior citizenship. So there's a major market out there of people, and they're a very diverse population who need information. And that's why I decided to write a book that's a literal guide for becoming dead right, because a lot of people really don't know what to do, and then the crisis comes, and then they have to deal with it.
But at the same time, each chapter ends with a poem. Yeah. So it is the guide, but at the same time, there's poetry in there as well that sort of gives it a different dimension. Why did you feel the need to include the poems at the end of the chapters?
The poems were actually written first, before the book, most of the book was written. I thought, actually, as I said, they were there, and they actually reflected the experience that I was having. So I couldn't see writing the book without including them, because they do add another dimension, and people say that all the time.
I want to talk again a little bit about hospice, in that the goal of hospice, obviously, is to allow people to die in a dignified and as pain-free manner as possible, to give them, you know, a better last few weeks, months, whatever it is they're going through, days. Do you find it, obviously, it's a difficult situation because these are people who are dying. Everyone's going to die at some point, but this is going to be very immediate for a lot of these folks. Is it ever inspirational at all for you when you're going through this, or is it always a sad situation?
As I said, it really isn't a sad situation most of the time, because the people do know that they are going to die, and you know it. And you'd be surprised that the research shows that many people who are dying or in hospice have a very good sense of humor. And so we joke, just as I would be talking to you.
Is there that moment, though, that you can sense when there is finally acceptance on the part,
yeah,
of the person?
That there is, and I think that helps, because in some cases they're ready to die. They have accepted it. Some of them have even cases where they have spirit sightings, where they actually, you know, seeing people from the other side. I would say a lot of patients, at a point where, particularly if they happen to be in pain, or they've, you know, had the closure that they need in this life, and then some of them are quite old, and they're ready to go.
Well, you're a volunteer in this sort of a situation. Obviously, there's always a need for more volunteers, more people to get involved in this and help out in some sort of way. What change to the system would you like to see? What do you think could benefit the situation most, especially in these nursing homes that you're working in?
Well, there's a movement going on called Culture Change in Nursing Homes. It's going across America to change the stereotypical traditional nursing homes the way we know them. And the movement is growing. And in the last chapter of the book, I have a chapter called Baby Boomer Haven. It describes what I would consider to be a very good nursing home, and it's based on best practices of nursing homes that already exist now, but not in enough nursing homes.
Well, we have about a minute here. If we've got time, I'd like to take a phone call. We have Cindy on the line, and you'll need those headphones there. Cindy is in Port Huron. Welcome to the program. Cindy, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks, Craig. I'm a retired RN, and I've done a lot of home care, and I do know a lot of aides that have worked in nursing homes, long-term care facilities. And what Francis said about advocacy cannot be stressed enough. In a nursing home situation, the nursing home people think they know that somebody's coming in all the time. I hate to say this, but I do think that their loved one gets better care, or their hospice client or whatever. I do think that when they know somebody's watching them, I think that is a great, that's a real asset. And the other thing is that...
Okay, quickly, Cindy. I'm sorry to cut you off.
There's geriatric consultants for people who don't need... Just Google or look up geriatric consultants or call your local home care agency like the VNA or something like that for people that, you know, if you're not in a hospice situation but you need somebody to visit.
Cindy, thank you so much. We will let people know that. Again, geriatric consultants, so Google that according to Cindy. Thanks for the call. We certainly appreciate it.
Okay,
Francis, before we say goodbye, quickly, where can people get the book?
People can get it at Amazon.com, other internet places, at my website, www.francisshineparker.com, also at Barnes & Noble at Wayne State, Barnes & Noble at Royal Oak, Shrine of Black Madonna, and other bookstores can always order it.
Well, very good. We thank you so much for coming in and talking a little bit about this for us. Francis Shiny Parker, author of Becoming Dead Right, a hospice volunteer in urban nursing homes. Thanks.
Thank you.
This is Detroit Today on WDET.